And let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask that you'd help us to understand your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to believe your word. This, as we're in this section here, is very unusual. But help us to see that you use the devil and his ministers to accomplish a purpose to bring glory to you, and that hopefully we can weed through it and then not get sidetracked by these unusual doctrines of the Bible, but stay focused on the main issues of what you want us to see. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, remember that this letter, 2 Corinthians 11, or the entire letter, is about the ministry. Okay, and so it's about the Christian soldiers of the Lord. We got down to verse 13, and one of the obvious evidences of a counterfeit ministry is as soon as they claim to be apostolic. Okay, if you go out here toward 41, right before you get to 41, there's the apostolic of Lowell. Okay, yeah, they're no more apostolic as they are monkeys on Mars. Okay, and they might be sincere, but if they're really truly sincere, they'll figure it out. Okay, and so these are false apostles, deceitful workers, and then it says transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And then he makes this statement, and no marvel. So he's hinting at a very unusual idea. Strange doctrine. This jumps into what I think it's called strange doctrine. Hebrews 13:9 says that we ought not to be occupied with strange doctrine, but we ought to know some things about it. Okay, and so this is strange doctrine. So he says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So what are angels portrayed in the Bible? To be men. So Satan shapeshifts to appear as a man. Okay, that's the shapeshifting is the word that the dark side uses. The Bible would use transforms. Okay, where he can appear in a different form. Okay, if you would look at John chapter 6, verse 70. Was Jesus Christ literal when he made this statement about one of his apostles? John 6, verse 70. Okay, was he speaking literal? Was John the Baptist speaking literally when he said, you scribes and Pharisees, you Pharisees, is Pharisees he said in particular, vipers. Jesus called the same group vipers in Matthew 23. Are they speaking literally? Are they speaking from the eyes of God, where God sees walking, talking serpents, but man sees a man? Okay, when the serpent appeared to Eve, if that was Satan, how does Satan appear? As an angel of light. So was it a snake that was up on its, you know, up like this talking to Eve? Or was it a man? It looked like a man. So she just thought she was talking to a man. Okay, and so if this happened, okay, John 6, verse 70, Jesus said, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is like a devil, or is a devil? He didn't say the devil, a devil. There's one devil, but many devils. And then he said, and he spake of Judas Iscariot. Now, I'm sure after he said that, the apostles, what? If it was registering. A lot of times things just blew over their head. And I'll bet you if you would pull Peter, James, and John aside and would have said, what do you think of Judas? Do you think he was a snake? I don't know what you're talking about. Man, we thought he was one of the most honest guys in the group. We put him in charge of the treasury. Now, when you live with somebody like they did for three and a half years, you pretty much know people can hide some of their secrets, somebody living in their house for maybe a week, maybe two. But these guys were living, Judas Iscariot was with them, living with them for 3.5 years. And after 3.5 years, when Jesus said, one of you is a devil, and I bet you the other guy said, who's he talking about? So what was Judas? Weird creature. A walking, talking man, but he was the son of Satan or the son of Sam. You know, I think that's a, wasn't that in a movie a while, years ago, The Son of Sam, or The Mystery Old Man. Okay, and this is weird. This is weird where Satan can have children, literal children. Jesus Christ said in John 8:44, talking to those Pharisees, that you are of your father the devil. Was that spiritual or was that literal? Genesis chapter 3 shows that Satan can have literal children. In Genesis 3, it's like a breeding program. In our culture, in the dark side of our country, and in the international elitists, is there a breeding program? Probably. Who are these people? And if you start looking at a lot of actors and actresses, you will see almost twins in several of them, many of them, looking the same. They may not be what we think they are. Okay, so then John 13, verse 26. Again, the topic is about Judas Iscariot. And in that story, in John 13, Jesus said, one of you is going to dip, we're going to dip a sop. I find it in a sop, S-O-P, son of perdition, standard operating procedure. And that's when Satan entered into Judas, John 13, 26. Jesus answered, it is he to whom I give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. So Judas was a devil, a lower devil, but Satan came into him. And that it would be the difference between the Antichrist operating as a flesh and blood man or a lower devil, and then when the devil himself indwells the Antichrist, you got more power there. Judas Iscariot. What do you call Judas in John 17:12? John 17:12. So this is something you'll find throughout the Bible on occasion. The Bible will touch on it. What this does for us, I would dare say, is don't trust anybody at the top. The only thing you and I can really trust is you can't trust television, you can't trust the media, you can't trust a politician. I don't care if you think they're saved or not. They don't get to those positions without something going on. With an exception. The exception proves the rule. King James would be an exception. Queen Victoria would be another exception. The exception proves the rule. How did Daniel describe kings of the end times? Daniel 7. Lion, bear, leopard, Antichrist is a combination of all three. In other words, beast of prey. That's why it says in Proverbs 23 that if you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider what's in front of you. What's in front of you? A standing lion on its hind feet that's getting ready to pounce on you if you cross it. Okay, so John 17, 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. This is the Lord's Prayer. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. None of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Okay, son of perdition. The phrase son of perdition is only found one other time in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians, if you would. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this one clearly tells who it is. And a lot of people try to figure this out. And the New King James Bible really messes it up because they put on verse 7, only he who now letteth will let. Make that the Holy Ghost. So they uppercase the H. So they're placing the Holy Ghost inside of the Antichrist almost. And the way it looks to me, what's going on, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, comma. Who's the man of sin? According to the King James translators, in their dedicatory, the man of sin is the Pope. But he puts a comma, the son of perdition. Man of sin would be a lower echelon devil within a man's body. And then when the son of perdition comes inside of him, would be Satan coming inside him, so then he'd have more power. And in verse 7, about what's letting or what's hindering the work here, the mystery of iniquity, is flesh and blood man, the man body. And in verse 8, when the wicked comes in the body, Satan, uppercase W, that's when there's nothing hindering it. That thing will go full force. So a lot of things. Okay, we cover that left. Let's try a couple other places. Revelation 17, 17. In the tribulation time period, throughout the history of prophecy, teachers, especially in America, interpreted the Bible from a Western viewpoint. So we'd have the 10 toes, the European common market. It's got nothing to do with that. I remember as a kid, they were talking about, oh, there's nine nations of the European common. When we get 10, we're right at the door. And then we got 10, then 11, and then 12, and then 13. And what we're doing is we're looking at the Bible from a Western viewpoint. The Bible is an Eastern book. The 10 countries he's talking about are Middle Eastern countries. Iran, Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, Turkey, okay, the northern Africa. So this would be the northern, it would be the eastern and western part of the Roman Empire, the revised Roman Empire. So you got to come across North Africa, Libya, Ethiopia, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, which is Dedan in the Bible. And so they're going to have 10 kings over these countries in Revelation 17, 17. But they will be walking, talking celebrities that they'll show on TV, look like men, just like anybody else. And people don't realize what they're looking at is a devil in flesh. Now, they're going to do what God has them do. Revelation 17, 17, for God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Now, those demoniac kings are not going to pray, get in the morning and pray, let me do your will, O God. No, they're not going to do that. They're going to do his will because God's putting thoughts in their head. They're accepting the thoughts, and, oh, well, let's give all our power to the Antichrist. Okay, so, and to agree. So they're going to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. These are 10 demoniac kings, okay, that will appear to be men. Will talk like men, will be on the news media just like men. They will interview them just like men, okay? And if you would tell people that's a walking, talking devil, they'd say, you get out of here. What are you, crazy? That's bizarre to say something like that, but it's reality. If we believe what the Bible says, if Jesus Christ was little and said, you are of your father, the devil. Okay, how about Ezekiel 29? A lot of Calvinists will go to Romans chapter 9 and talk about God forcing Pharaoh against his will, God hardened his heart, but yet they're looking at Pharaoh as if he was just a normal flesh and blood individual born of an earthly mother and an earthly father. Now, there's probably an earthly mother, but as the devil counterfeits everything of God, where God has the virgin birth, where God's seed went in a woman, does not the devil do the same thing over and over? And so what comes up is Tabitha. Remember the bewitched? a mortal marries a witch, and what do they have? They have a little witch. That's conditioning. That's back in the 60s. That was conditioning people to begin accepting these things. Now they're not hiding it. It's right in people's faces. Ezekiel 29. Have these Calvinists ever considered that possibly Pharaoh wasn't what they think he was? Ezekiel 29 says, verse 2, Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and against all Egypt. Speak and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, comma, the great dragon. The Lord says that's a dragon. Can that dragon get saved? Can you ever see a saved devil? That's Judas Iscariot. You ever see a saved devil? The Armenians say, oh, Judas lost his salvation. A saved devil? Are you kidding me? Okay, these are creatures that you and I, if we walk up to them, we could not tell them apart from a man. A man there, devil there, looks like a man, talks like a man, acts like a man. Okay, and it really gets strange. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming Son of Man. So what happened in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, fallen angels taking on flesh, having children with women. These products were giants. These giants became mighty men of renown. What's men of renown? What's renown mean? Run that through the Bible. Renown means famous. Famous celebrities. These famous celebrities that people ooh and ah about, what if those are literal devils? What if the majority of them are? This is why they can lie without conscience. What if a president can be a literal devil? Or the Queen of England? Or any of the leaders in Europe or Saudi? What if? Now, how can we tell these things? Well, we can recognize words that they say, but the thing is we don't trust them. We recognize that these creatures, these beings, will lie to you and I, and they have zero conscience. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of Son of Man. Okay, so when he says, and no marvel. Now, when Satan indwells the Antichrist, and when he gets fired from his ministry of deception that God hires him to do, and if you would, look in Isaiah 14. Okay, Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 are two obvious places that write about the devil, the Antichrist. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Okay, let's get our context settled for this. So Isaiah 14, 7, the whole earth is at rest. Okay, so what would our context be on that? The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. So that's millennium. 1,000-year reign of Christ, called the rest in Hebrews. So what happens at the beginning of the millennium, according to Revelation chapter 20? The dragon is thrown into a pit. He's got chains put on him, and he's bound for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 1, 2, and 3. So Isaiah is writing about that, verse 9. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. Verse 12, who is this? Who art thou fallen from heaven? How art thou fallen from heaven? O Lucifer, son of the morning. So he fell from heaven, Revelation chapter 12. Cast down to the ground, Revelation 12. Okay, when the Lord throws him into the pit, verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. The people that witness this event, what do they say? 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? Who's this guy? See, that's Leviathan. Revelation chapter 12. If Leviathan showed up and showed himself in his natural state, we'd all pass out. We'd all pass out. Now, these huge giants that they had before the flood, that worked in those days. That worked because there were a lot of people were bigger back then. But they're not giants in these days. Jude verse 6 and 7. But they are strange flesh. Unusual flesh. Not normal flesh. Flesh that can die just like a man. A fallen angel that takes on flesh is going to die just like a man. Jude verse 6 and verse 7. It says the angels was kept not their first estate. Okay, so angels in the creative being, God created them, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 7 and 14, as spirits. So angels are ministering spirits. Okay, when the angel takes on flesh, how they do that? I don't know. No idea. Drink blood, eat flesh, I'm not sure. Okay, and it says the angels was kept not the first estate, but left their own habitation. He hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness until the judgment of the great day. So the ones that did this before the flood, they drowned in the flood just like anybody else. So that's the ones that's in the earth right now that are waiting for the judgment. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah. So that actually took place again in Sodom and Gomorrah. That's why God blew it off the map. Okay? Including the kids, because the kids were product of this. So it's beyond, it's too far gone. That's why God blew it off the map. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication. There's their main sin, to bind people in a web. Why do they choose fornication? Satan is infatuated with that. Go to the cemeteries, what do you see? Obelisk. He puts it right in front of us. When you go down to the Capitol building, the Capitol building is a pagan symbol. He puts it right in front of us. Advertisements, what are advertisements? How they sell stuff on TV? It's obvious. It's through fornication. The devil knows that, according to first, and God knows too, and that's why he tells us to flee from fornication, where he says fornication is a spiritual marriage. Okay, it's pretty close to almost a literal marriage, but it's definitely a spiritual marriage where one party has five spirits in it and fornicates with another party. Now, these spirits are all now interwoven. It's like if somebody subjects himself to a hypnotist. Don't ever do that. But if you do, that opens the door. So that hypnotist, if that hypnotist has some dark things that he would like to accomplish, because somebody subjects themselves to the hypnotist, the door's wide open. He can do any dastardly deed he wants to that party, because that party allowed it to happen. Now, that party can shut the door by the blood of Christ. Okay, but that's what fornication does. So he says this. Then he makes this comment. And going after strange flesh, unusual flesh, weird flesh, not normal. Not flesh and blood like people sit here. Okay, and set forth for an example suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. So in 2 Corinthians, there in one little verse, the Lord is basically telling us, like the psalmist said in Psalm 118, he says, put no confidence in princes. Put no confidence in them. Okay, you get on YouTube, boy, a lot of these Pentecost charismatics and thinks that Donald Trump is the second coming of Christ almost. Granted, I'm glad he's in there and not the other one. I'm glad for that. Okay, but my trust is not in him. Okay, my trust is in the Lord. And who knows? If it's just all part of the program of the New World Order. The New World Order for years have taken this pendulum back and forth. And they give people what we think is a choice between a Democrat and Republican. And when it gets to monetary policy, foreign policy, there is zero difference. One party thinks they own all your money, and the other party thinks they own about 80% of your money. Now, I'd rather have the 80% rather than all of it, you know, on this side. But still, that's why in our currency it says, in God we trust. Now, there you can find a lot of things on this online, you know, and really get into the dark side of it, but I wouldn't suggest that. I'd say maybe know a little bit. We ought not to be occupied with strange doctrines. Make a whole ministry. A guy named Steve Quayle, he's on YouTube, and talks about the Nephilims. Why don't they talk English? I don't know why they've got to try to throw all this other stuff out there. And whole big ministry in that. No, you got to tell people first about Christ. And major on the major thing. So here we got it right here in 2 Corinthians. So in the ministry, what if Joel Osteen isn't what you think he is? What if he's not flesh and blood? What if he is a walking, talking devil? Wouldn't surprise me. Or Joyce E. Meyer. Or Roberts. Oh, Roberts, there's people that come out and testified that below the campus of Oral Roberts was places where they sacrificed people. Pentecostals, yeah. What if these people, I mean, what's he say? They transformed themselves into an apostles of Christ? What if these people are not what they think they are? People getting hoodwinked by them. That's why God gave us a book. Man, thank God for that book. And then he says in verse 14, no marvel. It's not a marvel. Isn't it how they condition kids? What's that one toy they used to have? Transformers. They transform from a car to a robot. He's the hero. That's all conditioning. Ninja Turtles, something green, that's a hero. You find that green in Revelation chapter 16, verse 13, a pagan trinity. Okay, they're just, everything's conditioning. Everything's getting conditioned. Okay, anybody ever go to, Disney World years ago? I went years ago and seen the parade at 3 o'clock. They used to have a parade at 3 o'clock. I don't know if they still did. And as they're coming through there, they had about 10 workers of Disney World that walked on these stilts. So these giants are about 12 feet tall parading over these people. I'm looking at these things and saying, man, this is Genesis 6 all over again. That's what I'm looking at. And they're conditioning people. Okay, and so right in our Bible, it doesn't surprise us. Actually, it should get us excited. Because when we can see these things, man, we are closer and closer to the second coming of Christ. And Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. That's what has the Illuminati. That's what gets the Masons. Albert Pike, the only Southern general that has a statue in Washington, D.C. And Albert Pike was a 33rd degree Mason, and he let it be known that Masonry is a Luciferian doctrine. Lucifer is the angel of light. Adonai is the bad god. So you go down to Arkansas, 33rd degree parallel, you'll have Pike County. They get all that. Man, they watch them numbers real close, and they watch where they're at. And they're really precise in these things. They're pretty predictable on these things. And so, man, it's praise the Lord, you can see these things. Verse 15, therefore, it is no great thing. No great thing. Not a big deal. If his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. You know, it'd be kind of fun if you was down, you know, Joel Osteen's territory. If you can get through the bodyguards and walk up to him and say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. And then watch his eyes go, you know, just to see what he's going to do. No, they got bodyguards. They won't let people get close to him.
And it says, ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And so what's the end? These people or beings are going to hear the Lord say, Matthew chapter 7, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire, I never knew you. You workers of iniquity. Workers of iniquity is found 21, 22 times in the Bible. First time Job, Psalms, Proverbs, once in Luke. Okay, then Matthew. And the workers of iniquity are the ilk, people or vipers under the Antichrist, who will do the bidding of the Antichrist, because he could only be in one place at one time. And he said in Psalm 14:4, and he said in Psalm 53, have all you workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread. So there's a clue of how they appear as men. They got to be eating energy, getting energy from the blood and flesh of people. So, you know, and I don't watch horror movies, you know, and all that kind of stuff, but some of that stuff is based on Bible ideas, but what they're doing is people are getting fascinated with the satanic aspect, and then they're going to get hoodwinked and pulled in. So that's the danger of those things. Okay, so actually we only got two or three verses covered there. We'll stop there. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words. Thank you that you give us a book that we could actually witness these things. And these things, man, we couldn't have really taught some of these things probably 60 years ago. That would have been totally shocking. But in our age, it is all over the television. Hollywood is not hiding these things anymore. Nothing's hid. And it's almost like you're making the devil broadcast and advertise what he's going to do. Sadly, a lot of people want to jump on his bandwagon because they've been hoodwinked, they've been deceived, they've been tricked. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to keep our faith in this book and help us to not marvel. So what? No big deal. And help us keep our faith in the Word of God. And be true to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.